I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We do routines and all the scenes with footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are for mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme, cut out quite unsignable. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 13th of February. The prep tip today is to get and read the following book, World Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin. You'll find the protocols that I've been following for 25-plus years, protocols for how to not get cancer. Once again, the title of the book is World Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin. We're continuing the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have my friend Cindy Smith with us, and we'll can take your questions, calls, and comments at 512-248-8252. We have open lines right now. Well, Cindy, it's been quite a discussion thus far, hasn't it, my dear?
It has been a very wide-ranging and interesting discussion first hour. I've got pulled up here on my computer Senate Bill 3589, Preventing Private Paramilitary Activity Act of 2024. It was sponsored by Senator Ed Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts, and it was introduced on the 16th of last month. And one of the things that's interesting about the bill is that it seems to delineate between private paramilitary activity and activity under law enforcement and activity under the military. And it's interesting to remember that sheriffs have the ability to deputize citizens. So I'm not sure that this is going to be the fail-safe that the globalists think it might be, or the deep state. If sheriffs are already working with citizen groups, as soon as they're deputized, they become part of the sheriff's department. So I'm not sure what the thought is there.
Well, let's educate our audience here a little bit, Well, Cindy, I'll ask you, are you a member of the militia?
No.
Okay. Now.
Well, it depends on what your definition of militia is.
Hold on. Now, what you've just told me lets me know one of two things. Either you have a severe physical disability or you have a mental disability because you're under the age of 60. And all men and women in this country who do not have a mental disability and do not have a physical disability, all men and adults between 18 and 60 are part of the militia. So, my dear, do you have a physical disability or a mental disability?
I have neither one. The challenging
then you are, in fact, a member of the militia, my dear.
Well, I'm a member of the constitutional militia.
Precisely.
But if in today's parlance, you admit to being part of a militia, a lot of folks are going to think that you are part of some paramilitary private group that is operating outside of the law. So you got to be real careful about how you talk about militias.
We do. And I was the commander of the militia for St. Louis City and County back in 1995. And we knew we'd be attacked by the media, and we did everything we could to counter that. And of course, only a couple of months after we got started, the federal government destroyed the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. It was not Timothy McVeigh. That's a fantasy. And for about 2 weeks, we had continuous videos of the Michigan militia running around the woods with their camouflage uniforms and burned up babies in the Murrah Federal Building, painting this incorrect, improper, wrong picture of what the militias were at that time. Now things have changed. Here we are a quarter century later. Missouri has a militia that is authorized and part of the state government, with the governor being the head of the Missouri State Militia. There's a couple other militias that are independent. And many states have done the same thing for the following reason. These never-ending wars that were two-plus decades long used up the Army, the National Guard, and the Army Reserve both, leaving them with worn out, used up equipment, worn out, used up men and women. And these states needed something to fill in the gaps to take care of the usual things that happen such as floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, ice storms, power outages, riots, and so forth. And they created these, put back into effect, I should say, these state militias to fill in the gap for the worn out, used up National Guard and Army Reserve. And you're absolutely right, Cindy. There is still a stigma attached to militias for many people. And I want to educate our audience, letting them know that if they're between the age of 18 and 60, and they don't have a mental disability, and they don't have a mental disability, they're part of their state militia, whether they want to be or not. Now, that's the state militias. The federal militia is men only from 18 to 45, and that's the federal militia, and the same thing applies. All men in the United States between 18 and 45 without a mental disability, without a physical disability, they're part of the federal militia, whether they want to be or not. So that's the reality of this, and it, of course, that plays to the Second Amendment, doesn't it, also, Cindy?
Well, absolutely. These concepts about the right to bear arms and the American people being their own first responders are part of the American DNA. I think it's interesting as the different wars that our country has gotten themselves into post-World War II, governors have come to the realization that, you know, our people are being used up in the National Guard. And if I were to need my own folks to come and deal with an earthquake or some sort of civil unrest, they might not be equipped or properly prepared to respond. So I better have a state militia that remains completely under the control of the governor. And that's my understanding, John, is that the state militia here in the state of Missouri would remain under the control of the governor, if the National Guard were nationalized. Is that correct?
Right. That's absolutely true. The federal government cannot nationalize the state militia. They have no legal way to do that. Now, a side issue of this, we've all heard and seen the numbers of military equipment left behind in Afghanistan, trucks and weapons and so forth. A lot of that belonged to state National Guards and the Army Reserve. Much of it was because they'd been activated and went to Afghanistan. So when they left Missouri, for example, they took their trucks with them. And when they left behind the trucks and everything else they brought with them for the most part. And I don't know how much of that's been replenished, but I doubt that all has been replenished. It's just simply a thought on my part. I don't know for exactly what's gone on there. So these governors have a responsibility to respond to forest fires, hurricanes, earthquakes, ice storms, and so forth. And they're not shirking their responsibility. They're doing the right thing by creating a state militia that the federal government cannot take away their equipment, cannot take away their men and women. And that's a correct response for a very real need, isn't it, Cindy?
Well, it absolutely is. And, you know, folks need to remember the states created the federal government, not the other way around. And this is one example, historical example of that. For folks that like to do internet research, I think one of the best people out there explaining the role of the militia is a constitutional lawyer by the name of Edwin Vieira. And you can find some of his stuff on a website called newswithviews.com. And he's a very good researcher. He explains the history of militia, Supreme Court documents, and other statutory laws that affected it over the years. It's a very good resource if you're interested in digging deep into this issue.
Absolutely. I'm familiar with Mr. Vieira's work, and he's been doing excellent work for a number of years. I highly support people studying and reading his work. Well, moving on from there, you forwarded me a note about one of the counties in Missouri hand-counting ballots. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, it absolutely is a good thing, and I'm not going to pretend to be a subject matter expert on elections, but it is something that I've worked on for a long time. And I think it's true that a small county like Osage County can very easily hand count ballots. The organizational and preparatory work that would be required for a large county to hand count ballots, it would take more work ahead of time in getting the teams in to count the ballots. but I'm not at all convinced that this is not something the entire state could participate in if the will were there to do so.
All right, we got our first caller already. Looks like we got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
For the guest, I would like you to ask you, is communism a movement in and of itself with a goal in and of itself, or is it in fact a front for something deeper?
Well, John, I'm of the opinion that communism didn't just spring out of the ground like a daisy after a spring rain, that it was prepared behind the scenes. And I think the international, very wealthy families that we can all identify going back, you know, 1,000 years or more. When you start to look at where the first central bank was, it was in Europe. All of those monarchical and very wealthy families. And I would say that communism was created in large part the intellectual framework for it, as well as fascism. I think they're very similar in what they do to undermine the nation states over which they've taken control.
Before you get away, John, I'd recommend reading Dr. Coleman's book, Committee of 300. That may give you some answers. Let's move on from there. We got JP in Chicago. Good morning, JP. JP in Chicago, you're on the air. JP in Chicago again.
Testing 1, 2. Am I coming?
Go ahead. We hear you now, JP. Go ahead.
Okay, a little bit of lag there. Hey, you guys got to watch this interview with Colonel Alexander. He's a Vietnam Special Forces guy like you, John. And a lot of my trainers in ROTC were Vietnam guys, by the way. Taught me how to shoot and march and everything. So I really respect. I like to pick your guys' brain because you've been through real wars, you know, unlike our modern wars. But he had in charge of non-lethal weapons. And really good interview. I recommend everybody watch it. But the reason I bring that up is because he brought up some things that I was studying, you know, remote viewing. They call it woo science. But one thing he confirmed was that they were doing quantum experiments with Einstein didn't like quantum physics, by the way. He didn't believe in it, but it's a real fact. And he called it spooky actions at a distance. So what they were able to experiment with was plants, for example, and the plant can sense the human's feelings and emotions. They hooked that up to a long scientific experiment. But either way, what they've discovered is that they can affect people from distances. The reason I bring this up is because I don't know if you guys are aware, but this graphene and I call it Operation Kill Shot, is basically a non-lethal weapon. It slow kills you, but at distance, and this is a theory out there, I just want to throw this out to you guys and see what you guys think. By having a snake genome in your third eye, which is, you know, graphene and these nanoparticles, I believe that they can affect people through 5G from a distance. And if you look at Internet Body of Things, if we are turned into nodes, and I am a computer expert, been doing it for 20 years, you can actually control a person's minds and thoughts from distance. So I was wondering what you guys think about non-lethal weapons and controlling the human mind through the vaccination. Have you guys read into that or researched it at all?
Well, I'll go first and have Cindy give a follow-up. First of all, I have dinner with the sheriff of our county several times a year, and he and the prosecutor, who I have dinner with also, they both mentioned a dramatic increase in two things: motor vehicle accidents and criminal suspects using violence to resist arrest. It's been, and both these men have 20 plus years in law enforcement, and they've noticed this as being just part of what's going on, and I regard that as being vaccine related. As far as non-lethal weapons, there's a place for them, most commanders don't really gravitate towards non-lethal. Depending on what weapon we're talking about, non-lethal weapons are primarily used against civilian populations where they don't want to cause needless death. And our adversaries, the communist Chinese and the Russians, are less likely to use non-lethal. It's just part of their mindset. They want to, especially the Chinese, they just want to kill us off. Your response, if any, Cindy?
Well, I think the technology portion of it is something that bears spending more time researching. One of the places I'm seeing some of that is the work of Todd Callender, who's an international lawyer. But he's got a team of people that work with him, and he's on Clout Hub. You'll find some programming there that talks about this, I guess it's W-Ban, W-B-A-N, or I'm not sure I've got the acronym right, but being able to access through technology, satellites and other types of technologies, and based on what the content of the COVID shots had in them, and a lot of research papers, patents, and other things that are out there that can be looked at. And so instead of focusing on it as a non-lethal weapon, I would encourage you to go down the trail of looking at it as a control mechanism.
Well, to answer Steve's earlier question, the one element the Chinese have are REEs. I read this on Defense One. They're called rare earth elements. The Chinese control 80 to 90% of them. Taiwan makes all the, you know, superconductor microchips, all those things. So if they were to invade Taiwan, that's a checkmate move. We can't make missiles anymore. We can't make satellites. That's a checkmate move, and the Chinese know it. So we all need to be aware of that grid down, because that's in the cards. I don't know when they're going to pull that out of the, you know.
Well, I have a closing window in that regard, JP. Now, for example, my friend Andrew with EMP Shield, he says that they're in the process of building a massive microchip factory in the cornfields of Kansas. It'll take probably 3 to 5 years for that to be up and running. So they have a window that's closing in terms of that opportunity there, JP.
Makes sense. Wonderful show. Thank you for educating us. You two are excellent guests today. Thank you.
You're welcome. We got open lines. You got a question or comment, give us a call at 512-248-8255. We have a State of the Union address coming up in about 3 weeks, March the 7th, I believe. And I'm going to watch the first few minutes only just to determine if it's the real Joe Biden or with a detached earlobe, or the fake Joe Biden with the attached earlobe. After I make that determination, which won't take more than a few minutes, I'm going to shut it off, because I really don't want to. I'd rather read a book than watch that guy say whatever he's going to say. How about you, Cindy?
Well, I won't be watching as long as you will. I will wait for the media reports and take a look at clips, but I don't intend to spend a lot of time listening to that as well.
You know, Cindy, we're out here in the Ozarks. It's a 40-minute drive to the first red, green, and yellow traffic signal. If you and I know that there's more than one Joe Biden, don't you think the staff of all these senators and congressmen, this is common knowledge, or even for the guys that we appreciate, like Josh Hawley, don't you think they all know that there's more than one Joe Biden?
At this point, I don't see how they cannot know, how they could be possibly so siloed to not realize that. And I think what this points to is the level of corruption that is in Washington, D.C. At this point, most everybody who is an honest broker, a person of integrity, is no longer there.
Well, and as far as people know, obviously, clearly, President Trump can and should know there's more than one Joe Biden. Of course he does. And, using us as an example, once again, we live in a very remote part of the United States, and we know this. People in the know in the Beltway, of course they know. We got a caller here. We got James in North Carolina. Good morning, James.
Morning, John. How you doing?
Good.
Hey.
I just got a statement. You was talking about being prepared and stuff like this and the militias and stuff. Bear Creek Arsenal out of...
I'm familiar with Bear Creek Arsenal. We'll get back to your comment after the break.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org. To watch the full video and see more information, use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Gentlemen, I have not one but two Valentine's Day sales going on right now. They end tomorrow, gentlemen. It is Valentine's Day tomorrow, in case you forgot. The first Valentine's sale is the energy cleaner, $25 off the energy cleaner, 25% off the mattress pads, an additional 5% off the entire order if you use PayPal. The second sale, which ends once again midnight tomorrow night, Liberated Rocketeers, $500 off. And the gentleman from North Carolina, you're about to tell us about Bear Creek. Please go ahead.
Bear Creek Arsenal has a sale on AR-15s and AR-10s. AR-15s are $365 to $380, complete rifles.
That's a good price. That's a really good price.
And AR-10s, I think they're like $500.
Right, right. The AR-10 is a 308 7.62 NATO, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Right, right. Well, great. Anything else?
That's all I wanted to do was get it out. They're having a sale, and you're talking about militias and stuff. Might want to get some beans and bullets.
There you go. Beans, bullets, and Bibles. All right. Thank you, James. We appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Well, Cindy, in talking to our neighbors, I find that they share our concerns. We have one neighbor that occasionally, he'll travel up to Alton, Illinois, to the big farms, ammunition, Winchester Ammunition, Olin Manufacturing. He'll take orders from the local guys for case lots of ammunition, whatever they want, 9mm, 45, 223, and so forth. And he'll fill up his truck with these orders, and then he'll deliver them to our neighbors' homes. That's the neighborhood taking care of itself, isn't it, Cindy?
Yeah, it reminds me of historically what the country was like even before its founding as a nation. Small bands of folks living in community together, taking care of the needs of one another, and everybody moving forward together. And thinking back to some of the conversation with Steve and Dave in the first hour, one of the overarching themes, I think, is that all of the different systems, whether it be economic or political or social, even religious and spiritual, we seem to be moving from a centralization to more decentralization. And I think the future, regardless of how things pan out, our future is going to be a more decentralized future. And people who are really paying attention and are enlightened and are awake and seeing what's happening are putting things in their life in all different areas to participate in a more decentralized future.
All right, let's do a segue here. You're about the community quite a bit for different meetings and associations and so forth. The topic of electric vehicles. I was reading this morning, a gentleman was given a quote by a BMW dealer that his $50,000 BMW to replace the battery was $70,000. So in your travels and various meetings, what discussion, if any, are you hearing about these electric vehicles, my dear?
Very little discussion in people that I talk to, other than maybe something that popped up in the media about, trying to replace a quarter panel on one of these expensive EV vehicles, and the supply chain of replacement parts is so small. And you have to wait so long, and the price of replacement parts are just astronomical. And people who may have been initially open to the idea of getting an electric vehicle are now seeing that the system is just not in place to support it on any kind of an economic scale.
And something that's discussed very rarely is the resale value of these vehicles. And the second thing, these insurance companies are finding out that a rather minor accident in terms of a regular combustion engine turns out to be a total vehicle loss for one of these electric vehicles, doesn't it?
It doesn't make any sense from an insurance perspective as well. There's an article here from Zero Hedge just this morning that a crowd in San Francisco set a Waymo driverless car on fire. I think that's an inflection point. Yeah, I think that's
that.
people are starting to wake up and understand that there is no future going down the EV and driverless car bandwagon.
No. Well, my prediction, for whatever it's worth, which is not the price of a cup of coffee, but by the end of this calendar year, that General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler will discontinue manufacturing electric vehicles. These dealers have come together, and they've told Washington, D.C., we don't want these things. They simply don't want them. Our next caller is Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah. You know, he's talking about people putting up with two Bidens and that, and what about the fact that the Obamas was in there for 8 years and Big Mike, Michael Robertson, was a man? And nobody up there said anything about it?
That's just, well, Big Mike's still a man.
John. Okay.
Big Mike is still a man. We'll bring that up after the break. Ron, thank you for your call. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you need it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by the Ark Haven Intentional Christian Community, a great place to live, a great place to raise a family, a great place to retire, a great place to live a wonderful, happy, fun life. I have not one but two Valentine's sales going on right now. Gentlemen, once again, in case you forgot, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. The first Valentine's Day sale is the Liberated Rock Heater, $500 off. That's a substantial savings. And the second is the Energy Cleaner, $25 off Energy Cleaner, 25% off the mattress pads, an additional 5% off the entire order if you use PayPal. When you place your order, you pay full price. I do the sale price refund manually. Place your order at thelibertyman.com or call my toll-free hour line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. Being with Cindy Smith, and Cindy, Ron brought up the matter of Big Mike. I've seen the videos, and I think most of our listeners have seen the videos where Big Mike is doing a dance routine with Ellen DeGeneres or walking down a stairway. Either Big Mike has a summer sausage hanging down from his abdomen, or there's a natural growth there, which would be a male penis. What do you think, my dear?
I think we've seen videos of other prominent leaders as well. I'm thinking right now of Jacinda Ardern. I think one way to look at this is to understand that our leaders of nation states are somewhat selected more than they are elected, those that are allowed to run for president or prime minister or whatever you want to call the leader of a country. And it's part of the spiritual battle about undermining the binary nature of creation and human beings actually being men or women. And it's part of the destruction of our culture that these people are put in the positions that they are.
They are. And I'm working to get Riley Gaines to be a guest on this show. I'm not sure if that's possible, but she was the college competitive swimmer that got a college scholarship for swimming, and only to find out that she was up against a mentally ill man pretending to be a woman. And that's happened to thousands of young women all over this country, and young women who begin sometimes at a very early, like with gymnastics, they begin at age 8 or so to be a competitive gymnast, and working thousands of hours literally for years to be competitive in their sport, possibly get a college scholarship, only to find that all that hard work and effort and sweat and tears smashed by a mentally ill man who they cannot possibly win against. And I don't blame the mentally ill men for what's going on. I blame the authorities that are in charge of these sports for allowing mentally ill men to pretend to be women and participate in these sports, up to and including boxing, which could easily result in the death of a young woman in a boxing ring against a man, couldn't it?
Yeah, the physical differences between men and women are very well known, scientifically. This is not a matter that is up for debate. I can't remember what, I believe it was a national organization in the last 2 weeks or so came out with a statement. They were not going to allow biological males to participate as women in their league. And I don't remember which organization that was, but I take that as a good sign that we may have now gone beyond peak lunacy with this. And maybe now we're coming back to center.
It's going to take a while. And in the meantime, we have men taking these scholarship opportunities away from women, men setting records in the women's sports that have to be erased at some point. I don't support President Trump the way I did on one hand. On the other, I think President Trump would probably bring an end to this, wouldn't he?
I think the pressure to do something about this would be overwhelming were he to become president.
Absolutely. Our next caller is Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Cindy. So I have a question and a thought on some of these different issues, especially I want to jump back just a little bit to the separation of the states. You know, I think Dave is correct. I think it's going to be forced on us. But if it is forced on us, I don't think people that are pushing for this have thought it out very well. Because if that happens, the whole entire West Coast would fall under communist rule. Because unless the people in those West Coast states stood up, and Hawaii for that matter, they're so liberal, they're so psychologically damaged in most cases, the leadership of those states, that I believe they would allow Chinese or anybody else that's communist, they would fall. Well, the West Coast is unfortunately produces by a far huge margin almost all of the fruits and vegetables for the entire country. Well, if we were to lose that, and there would possibly be some level of trade as long as they were still not completely collapsed, because they will collapse underneath their own stupid pressure, the stupidity pressure. In any case, if they were to collapse, the cost of living for everybody in the other segregated states would dramatically go up, because we wouldn't have near the interstate commerce that we have now, because everything in this country right now is based on this just-in-time delivery and not the local production. We can't grow very few.
Well, Kyle, let me help you out here. What you're saying would be true for about a year. It would take about a year for the private sector to build up what would be necessary to replace the fruits and vegetables from the West Coast with greenhouses and whatever else it took for the private sector to fill in the gap. So what you're saying would be accurate and take place for about a year, sir.
Well, I think it would be longer than that, John, and I'll tell you why. I've got fruit trees out here right now that are about 4 years old, and they're just now, and I've got nine of them, and they still don't provide enough fruit for other than me, because we live in a cold climate. And I know what you're saying. You guys in Missouri you'd be a lot better off in that way, and southern states that did stay that way. I just think that, because you would lose about half of the East Coast, and you would lose the entire West Coast. I think if we think this thing through, you'd lose Illinois and Michigan and all of those states. And I'm not sure about the manufacturing process of what things would be doing and how that would be going on. But I think to throw the monkey in the a monkey wrench in the gears is all these 9 million illegal aliens that they're going to, in the aftermath of a collapse or anything like that, those people are going to go crazy. They were talking just the other day. I saw an interview on a little short clip, and they were interviewing illegal aliens, and they said, "Oh yeah, we're going to vote for Biden."
Of course they are. Well, even if they don't go to the polls, the Democratic Party would vote on their behalf, even if they don't go to the polls. Kyle, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. You any follow-up, Cindy, before we go to our next caller?
Yeah, I think what Kyle is talking about is kind of going back to that theme, which seems to be a thread that goes throughout this show this week, is about the centralization versus the decentralization thesis. And the food system in the United States has become very centralized. Everybody expects to go, I shouldn't say everybody, but Americans have become accustomed to going to the grocery store, the supermarket, remember supermarket, instead of having a little market in your own hometown. Right. And so we're going back now to a decentralized food system. And there's a website, if you put regenerative farming in your search engine, you can go to a website that shows you in every state where there are regenerative farms. And the good news for Missourians is we have a lot of regenerative farms already established and growing food in our community. So the areas of the country, the blue states with the big cities, are the ones that are the population are relying almost entirely upon this centralized food system, whereas the red states with the smaller communities, they've already got that resiliency built in a lot of communities.
I've seen a 20-acre truck farm being a place that grows vegetables primarily, grow tremendous amounts of food, a very profitable business. And, of course, these Amish farmers most likely have a way to expand their operations also if the demand was there. Let's move on to our next call. We got Ken in Texas. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Couple of issues. One I wanted to get in earlier, but I had some local stuff I'd take care of. Anyhow, the United States has already been broken up into 10 regions, if you consider the FEMA regions. So something to chew on. The other thing is that, you know, Biden, you know, air quotes, won the last election, you know, from his mother's basement. And so I would posit that all of this Biden senility stuff is all an act. And, you know, it's Sun Tzu, you know, where you act weak when you're strong. One last thing, and then I'll hang up and get back to listening, and that is that I've been watching this very carefully, so I wasn't wrong about it, but the latest pictures I've seen regarding the actor for Biden or whoever it is, his left earlobe is unattached and his right earlobe is attached. And I have pictures to prove it. Anyhow, just throw those couple things out there. Got more to say, but we'll move on and get back to listening. Thank you all very much.
Okay, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, Ken. Any response or sending to Ken's comments?
I think he points to something that's very probable, which is the value of psychological operations. I think masks may be used on some of these actors as well. And people are now starting to figure out that sometimes he has an attached earlobe and sometimes he has an unattached earlobe. And so what better way to confuse that than create a mask that's got one attached earlobe and one detached earlobe. And I think there's something also to be said about keeping Americans on the back foot. If you truly believe that everything that comes out of Biden's mouth is because of his lack of cognitive ability, you are somehow not able to hold your government accountable as you would if you thought that he was intentionally and deliberately doing the things that he's doing. So it is, I believe, part of a psychological operation.
Absolutely. What direction would you like to go next, my dear? We've got 3 minutes before the next break.
Well, there's a topic out there that we didn't cover the first hour that I thought we might. And that has to do with the fact that Lloyd Austin is now in the hospital again. And I understand that he is in there for ICU for a bladder issue. And I'll tell you what, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. What person did you ever know with a bladder issue that ended up in ICU?
That's true. That's true. Well, they're probably concealing the real deal then, you think?
Yeah, I think there's something catastrophically wrong with his health, or somebody benefits from having the American people believe that he's been taken out of his position of making decisions. I think Kathleen Hicks is now in charge, and there may be some things going on behind the scenes with that transfer of power.
Well, I doubt there's going to be any transfer of the goals and the way the Department of Defense operates. That simply isn't going to happen. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this has more to do with deflection and diversion than it does with any actual change in where they're going.
No. The Department of Defense needs to be completely overhauled. If President Trump comes back in office, I think his focus needs to be on the senior executive service. That's the real deep state, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. Those people don't change just because you elect a new president and get a new administration in Washington.
No, it's over 8,000 men and women in the senior executive service, with another probably 20,000 rising up through the ranks to eventually become a senior executive service, and they're all going to play in lockstep so that they don't offend anybody and their career can continue, don't they?
Well, yeah. By this time, there's a pipeline. These people are identified as, you know, potential folks in college or in graduate school or whatever, and they're hired into the right agencies and mentored by the right people and moved into the right positions, and that's how the system works.
That's exactly how it works, and it's been Jimmy Carter formalized it, creating a senior executive service during his administration. On one hand, on the other, it had been operating for decades, going back, I'm sure, to the Roosevelt administration, where it's become generational in these families, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking back to a number of news articles where you see a little bit of a feature about this person that received a new position in some bureaucracy, and then they talk about their family, and, well, their father was involved, or their aunt was involved, or their uncle was involved. So, yeah, this has become a family thing.
It has. It has. And of course, they're concentrated around Washington, D.C. primarily, with senior executive service people literally all over the United States, aren't there?
Yeah, and sometimes these people show up in places where you wouldn't expect to see them.
I would assume that would be the case. We got our last break coming up here. We got time for maybe, I'm not sure we got time for a quick call or not. But the call number is 512-248-8252. Okay, election coming up. Any prognostications on who the Democratic nominee is going to be?
Oh, that's a tough one, John. Maybe I'll think about it over the break.
Okay, we'll be right back.
For me to sleep at night. What's a girl to do? Sign, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com. And Sleepless, there is a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner and the Liberty Man, I'm sleepless no more. There he is now. Hold on, Sandman. Thank you, Liberty Man.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
February is Heart Month, and every year, Extendivite has a sale. This year is no different. Extendivite is regularly $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply. In February, Extendivite is only $57.50 for a two-month supply, plus shipping and handling. Extendivite is a combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. These ingredients work synergistically to improve your overall health. So don't delay. Join the Extendivite family today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Fix bayonets.
Lady Eden and Nicole Colgren. Wherefore many men have gone.
Back, let's just go back. Well, Cindy, this 2 hours has flown by as typically it does, and you've got about 3.5 minutes here, my dear, to summarize your thoughts for the day and for the week.
Well, with 3.5 minutes, I'm going to share a couple of things that are just snapshots of sort of where we are as a country. We've got reports this morning that on the West Coast, we have in the state of Washington, squatters have taken over an entire apartment complex and have turned it into a den of crime. And of course, that would not be possible without either these cities changing their laws about occupancy in apartments and all that, or just law enforcement just completely not enforcing whatever laws and regulations they have. And of course, that's probably also taking place on the East Coast. Another article talks about Gen Zers are now giving up on the tiny homes. And the new thing is living in your car. So that's how they're dealing with the fact that they can't afford even an apartment in some of these cities. And then, interestingly, a Boston couple signs up to house illegal immigrants, and to their surprise, four of them get delivered to their house within an hour, which really shows how there's a system set up there behind the scenes, and a lot of Americans aren't aware of it, but the fact that this couple signed up to house some homeless people, or migrants, as they're called, illegal immigrants, according to the article, and there is actually a system in place to deliver them to the address they gave within an hour. Pretty astounding.
It is. It is. There's no similar system in place for homeless veterans that I'm aware of, is there?
No. Homeless veterans are lucky if they can get assistance. And veterans issues is something that my husband and I have worked on for a number of years. And one of the problems with housing veterans a lot of times is the veteran service providers require a veteran to be drug and alcohol free. And of course, a lot of these veterans, especially, I'm going to say, especially Vietnam era veterans, but it's common among all veterans that are having troubles, is that they have one or more addiction issues. And so if the only housing available for a veteran, you have to be drug and alcohol free, that precludes a lot of people that need help from getting help. So just, I guess my summary today is, you know, based on what we talked about with Dave and Steve in the first hour, as well as some of the things we talked about with a number of callers in the second hour, I really feel like there's a movement, and it's got pressure globally. We're going to a more decentralized future.
Cindy, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll have you back next Tuesday.
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's it for the day. Get the medical supplies, your energy, plenty of essential oils now while you can. Your firearms, ammunition, never ever give your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. Large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in. The even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.